Now, the sermon title this morning, Who Do You Say That I Am? And our reading this morning is from the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Jesus then asked them, But who do you say that I am? The Gospel of the Lord. Okay, what about you? Imagine that Jesus was in our midst this morning, looking you directly into the eye and saying, Who do you say that I am? How would you answer that question? Who is Jesus? What do you believe? And does it matter what you believe? Hold on to those thoughts. Christianity had been mostly illegal in the Roman Empire for 300 years. In the year 311, the Roman Emperor Constantine issued the Edict of Toleration. Christianity would now be tolerated in the Roman Empire. A short decade later, in the year 321, the emperor would issue a new edict. It seems that at some level, the emperor had come to Jesus. The Edict of Constantine made Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. It was the marriage of church and state. For better or worse, Christianity was now at the very center of the Roman world. But what did these Christians believe? How would they give their faith expression in words? Later in the 4th century, the leaders of the church signed off on the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess now our faith in the ancient words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe that? Do you believe all of it, every word? And why do you believe it? What facts would justify your belief? And finally, what difference does it make if you believe it or not? Jesus said to the disciples, Who do you say that I am? He wanted to know what they believed. Now, I would maintain that belief is critical. What you believe is important. More than important, it will inform your life, your behavior, your attitude, your quality of life, and the quality of life of those who love you. If you value your life, the quality of your life, and the quality of life of those around you, then there is nothing more important than your beliefs. Now, at this point, it's critical that we understand that our beliefs are just that, they are ours. Most of our beliefs came from somewhere outside of ourselves. Our belief systems were given to us by our parents, our grandparents, by our friends, by teachers, by the founders of our country, or by a church that shared creeds and teachings with us. Now, babies may be born thinking they are the center of the universe. But no baby is born believing that whites are superior, or that one should stand for the national anthem, or that we should be afraid of Muslims or hate minorities. You see, most of our beliefs come from somewhere outside of ourselves. But our particular beliefs belong to us. They are ours. A belief, by definition, is something we personally choose. Now, I should say, too, that belief and reality are two different things. Belief cannot change reality. What do I mean? Well, did you ever hear about the man who did not believe in gravity? He jumped off the Deception Pass Bridge. At that point, gravity, a force that he did not believe in, gravity did not consider his opinion and ushered him into the water. Now, a belief in gravity might have changed his behavior, but belief cannot change reality. For much of human history, it was believed that the earth was flat. That is what people believed, but that belief would not change the reality. The great trial lawyer and future American president, Abraham Lincoln, was in court, and he was cross-examining an expert witness, and Lincoln asked the man this question. He said, "How many legs does a dog have if we call the tail a leg?" The man responded, "Five." Lincoln smiled as he replied to the expert, saying, "Calling a tail a leg does not make a tail a leg. The answer is still four." Belief cannot change reality. "Who do people say that I am?" The disciples responded, "Well, Jesus, some people think that you are the prophet Elijah." But if everyone believed that Jesus was the prophet Elijah, he still would not be the prophet Elijah. In some ways, then, it makes no difference what you believe. Your belief or lack of belief will not change reality. Some would say that there is no God. That belief is not uncommon. But either there is or there is not. The belief of humans will not change that reality. You came from God, you will return to God. It does not matter if you believe that or not. It makes no difference what you believe then. Well, actually, nothing could be further from the truth. What you believe makes all the difference in the world. Now, hear me very carefully. Your belief cannot change reality, but what you believe can change your reality. What you believe can change your life. What you believe can change your story. Who do you say that I am? Our summer travels with Jesus continue today. We're headed for the Roman city, a pagan city, with pagan temples. The city is Caesarea Philippi, built by King Herod's son Philip to honor the emperor in Rome. Now, at this point in the story, the sun was setting on Jesus' ministry. Indeed, the sun was setting on his life. In a matter of days, he would be headed to Jerusalem. He would be arrested there. He'd be put on trial, and he would be crucified. Jesus and his followers were hanging out in the familiar surroundings around the Sea of Galilee, but it was time for a little road trip. Jesus led the disciples on a hike, and it was quite a hike to Caesarea Philippi, 37 miles, in fact. How long did it take to walk 37 miles? 2 days, I would imagine, maybe three, a night or two camping, or at a Motel 6. Jesus seemed to like road trips. But this time, the destination was difficult to understand. The city was Roman. The city was pagan. It was a place where Jews were supposed to avoid. It was doubtful that any of the disciples or Jesus himself had ever set foot in this den of iniquity. Jesus then took them on this 37-mile hike, which meant sooner or later they were going to have to walk 37 miles back. When they arrived and walked into the city, they came face to face with the power of the empire. Master builders and slaves had crafted this amazing city. The power of Rome was on display. Now, could anyone have predicted that in a mere 290 years that this Jesus would have been the central figure of the empire, supplanting Caesar as the Son of God? No. No one in their right mind could have seen this coming. Jesus, the carpenter's son, a small-time rabbi and miracle worker, walked into the Roman city. The disciples were in awe. The empire ruled the world. They stopped beneath the magnificent temple of the god Pan. Pan was half goat, half man. And it was here beneath the pagan temple that Jesus asked our question of the day. who do you say that I am? No one would answer. No one dared answer, except Peter. Peter, who nearly died in the Sea of Galilee a couple weeks ago, Peter said, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. Jesus smiled. The cross was just a few days off. That means that soon these disciples are going to be in charge. These disciples would have to lead the Jesus movement into the future. He said, yes, Peter, you are correct. I am the Son of God. Now, I want you all to look around you. I want you to see the powers of Rome. I want you to see the pagan worship, and I want you to hear me very clearly. If you believe, if you proclaim this truth and live as I have taught, then the powers of Rome will not defeat you. The powers of Rome will not defeat the movement of God. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That's what Jesus said. 290 years later, after the disciples were martyred, after the church had been persecuted for 290 years, after Peter had been crucified upside down and Paul had been beheaded by the empire, 290 years later, the movement of Jesus Christ would be the religion of the Roman Empire. It's an interesting history lesson, is it not? How fascinating to see our scripture lesson come to life. Who do you say that I am? Does it matter? Well, no. And gates of hell, yes. It matters. And it matters more to us than it does to God. Who do you say that I am? Well, I would say you are the Son of God. I believe that you, Jesus, taught us a better way of living, a better way of loving. I believe, as you said, that you came that we might have life and have it abundantly. And I believe that that abundant life that you desire for us is more likely to happen if we live and love as you did. I believe that my life will be better if I live in service to others. I believe that my life will be better if I'm faithful to my wife. If I recognize that the children of every race and every land are still the children of God, my life will be better and healthier and fuller and longer if I forgive others as God has forgiven me. I believe that I will be richer in every way if I'm generous with the stuff that God has entrusted to me. Blessed to be a blessing, sharing is the way of Jesus. I believe that my life will have purpose and meaning and be blessed beyond measure if I put myself in the path of the gospel, sharing the journey every Sunday with flawed followers of Jesus. I'm not worried about heaven. Lord, you birthed me once without my help. I trust you to birth me again when this life is through. I'm not worried about the next life, for your grace is sufficient for me. I'm not worried about death. I'll trust you on this one. Embracing the words of the great theologian, Woody Allen, who said, I'm not afraid to die, I just don't want to be there when it happens. Who do you say that I am? How would you answer that question? Now, your answer will not change reality, but your answer may change your life. Okay, I'm going to rest for a minute, and I invite you to listen very carefully to this song and take in the images. It's a story of faith in the midst of loss.
Old man Wrigley lived in that white house down the street where I grew up. Mama used to send me over with things. We struck a friendship. You know, I'm more and more convinced the longer that I live. Yeah, this can't be. No, this can't be. No, this can't be. I believe. I believe.
There is only one God. Call that God whatever you like, but there's only one God. And that God is the author of all creation, all worlds, the stars and the galaxies far, far away. Believe it or not, it is what it is. There is only one God, and that God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. There is only one God, and that God loves you always, even if you're in timeout. God loves you if you're not on the winning team. God loves you if no one else seems to love you. God loves you still. God loves you even if you deny God's existence. Even if you don't love yourself, God loves you. There is only one God, and that God forgives your sins. Humans by nature are kind of screw-ups. God gets it. God does not expect us to be perfect. We are forgiven. Does not matter if we believe it or not. Maybe no one else will forgive us. Maybe society will not forgive us. Perhaps we're having a real hard time forgiving ourselves, but God forgives us always. There is only one God, and there is nowhere that we can go to escape that reality. In the womb, in our teenage years, in the middle of our lives, as we approach death, God is with us. We can run, we can hide, we can deny God, but that will not change reality. Loved, forgiven, and never alone, that is reality. Nothing can change it. But if we believe it, even in the midst of our doubt, if we believe it, then we will be set free to love, set free to forgive, set free from the fear of living and free from the fear of dying. If we believe it, we can change the world for the better. We can change the community we live in, and we can change our story for good. Who do you say that I am? Your answer matters. Amen.